Many urban planners have been alarmed over the past couple of decades as metropolitan areas have sprung up where farmland or wooded areas once stood. Following new subdivisions have been strip malls, parking lots, and fast food franchises in a not always attractive fashion. Last year's election saw a number of states with new governors, and some of them are looking at what can be done to control that kind of unbridled growth. Michigan's Jennifer Granholm noted it during her State of the State speech.
We will develop a cooperative, common-sense approach to how we use our land so we can protect our forests and farms, prevent the sprawl that chokes our suburban communities and threatens our water quality, and bring new life to our cities and older suburbs.
Governor Granholm says she wants smart growth. It's a popular term, but what is it? What does it mean?
I think that smart growth is really hard to, certainly hard to describe.
Barry Rabe is a professor of environmental policy at the University of Michigan's School of Natural Resources and Environment. He says smart growth sounds great.
I don't know anyone who's really against smart growth, but you can spend a long academic seminar or actually a lifetime in search of sort of the one common definition of exactly what that means. Again, it has sort of an intuitive appeal. It resonates. We can think of all, you know, examples that are not so smart growth or dumb growth. But I think clearly this is something that lends itself to differing kinds of interpretations by different groups.
And as you ask the people who will be sitting at the table debating smart growth, it becomes clear that each one has a different definition. Lynn Egbert is the CEO of the Michigan Association of Home Builders. He says smart growth is a private citizen building a home wherever he or she thinks is an ideal site.
Our basis continues to be, and our focus, primary focus is, and will remain, that it's private property rights under the U.S. Constitution that have to be maintained, and that is an individual right. It is a citizen's right, and we have to work with local and state government to make sure that that's achieved and balanced.
Egbert says the culprit causing urban sprawl is not the choices that landowners make. He says it's too much government regulation. Egbert says generally, municipalities that zone areas into large lots stop home builders from building more houses on smaller plots of land. Others also place much of the blame for sprawl on government, but for different reasons. Hans Voss is with the Michigan Land Use Institute.
Landowners do have a right to live in the area in which they choose, as long as they follow local land use regulations and pay the full cost of that lifestyle. And right now, the taxpayers in the cities and across the whole states are actually subsidizing that style of development.
Voss says to implement smart growth, the government has to stop subsidizing urban sprawl by building highways and sewer systems that all of us have to pay for with our taxes instead of just the residents who benefit from them. He says that money could be better used to revitalize older suburbs and the center of deteriorating cities. There are a lot more ideas about what smart growth means, and there's a bit of a public relations spinning going on because of the ambiguity of the term smart growth. The University of Michigan's Barry Rabe says we'll hear a lot about smart growth for some time to come.
It's one of these buzzwords that everybody likes, but to come up with a common definition of it, much less figure out how that would be implemented in public policy, is tricky.
Ultimately, compromise will define smart growth as states grapple with trying to find better ways to use land without losing so much farmland to sprawling subdivisions and paving over natural areas for parking lots. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, this is Lester Graham.